Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. Today we're going to engage in a little analytical exercise, and quite a simple one at that. I'm going to show you how easy it is to lie to people and to fool people, and how it can be done in a certain way, and it'll slide right past most people. Most people won't even notice exactly what they've been shown. Now, in my video, Jews 102, The Jewish Strategy of Lying, I explained my views on why I think that we are a civilization that strives for the truth, and all of our structure is based on the truth, whereas the Jews are operating completely against us all the time. And that may be the only way that they can survive and prosper to the extent that they do. It's their survival strategy for living among us. But this does not excuse their behavior, because the damage they do to our civilization is unbelievable. And we'll get back to that in other episodes in the future. So in the video that I did, Jew Shock When Whites Go Wonky, that was also about whites who realize that the system isn't the system they believe it to be. They've been taught that this is the system, but the reality is something else. And when that starts hitting home to some people, it really loosens their grip on reality. And it affected me for much of my life, as I was trying to figure out what the heck had gone wrong with us. And by the way, the intro to this video was Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, which Rhodesia adopted for its national anthem. And they wrote words to it, but the basic music for it was Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. And perhaps those of you who live in Europe and in America, North America, you don't really understand how much other non-white societies lie. These people live in a low-trust environment where every guy is busy cheating and lying to every other guy, where brother is busy cheating brother, and so forth. They've got plenty of problems in all these non-white societies, and that's why these people can't function. But that's a topic for another day. However, what I'm trying to stress is that white society is special. And what Europeans and European descendants have achieved in Europe and in all the places that they colonized and moved to has been very, very special. From my own perspective here in Africa, I have watched how everything breaks down around me. And I've watched the people involved in it, each one of them, and I've had a look, and I've seen how these things happen. It's really quite an amazing thing. But I've always brought it back down to this point of trust and truth. I've realized this over and over and over again, that the way whites implement it is very special. And anyone who messes with it starts destroying the system. There are lots of unspoken rules about European and white society, which most of you just take for granted, and it's not so elsewhere in the world. You have no idea the many things that you accept as normal and natural, which is not normal, and it's not natural, it's special. Some months ago on the social media, I ran into a Jew-wise Australian who told me that he worked for banks and he'd had many dealings with Jews. And he told me the following about the Jews. He said, the Jews take a country and they're like somebody driving a car, and they put their foot on the accelerator and they drive the car over the cliff at full speed. He said the Jews just take a country and drive it over a cliff at top speed. They don't even think further about it. And these are the kinds of topics that we need to come back to. Because what these Jews do to all the careful work of whites, the careful work, the things that we saved and looked after and we took care of it, and then these Jews just come and they just run amok in this place and they create a whole hellhole wherever they go. So our society is one where whites are brought up to believe in a system, and you are brought up to believe that the government's telling the truth, that newspapers are telling the truth. Even Adolf Hitler chided the Germans for believing everything that's in print. But then again, you have to ask yourself, is it wrong to have that sort of faith in your system? Is it wrong to want to believe that your government's telling you the truth, that the newspapers are telling the truth, that your society is a society built on trust? Whose fault is it really when the trust is broken? Is it the fault of the worker and the common person, or is it the fault of people higher up? Ask yourself that question. Now, in my view, it's the fault of the people higher up. But we can debate this another time. Anyhow, what you're about to view is a 42-minute program. It is from a Canadian TV show called Webster. And this Webster guy is interviewing a lawyer. Now, Webster interviews a lawyer called Doug Christie. And I believe Doug Christie passed away a couple of years ago. And what a guy this Doug Christie is. If only there were a million more lawyers like him. The only other lawyer like him that I know of is the German barrister Sylvia Stoltz. And she's sitting in jail because she did what she believed was true. And she stood up for the truth in court, even though it meant she had to go to jail. And so that poor woman's been put in jail for her lack of free speech due to the Jews, for something she said in Switzerland. And next thing you know, she's in jail. Now, this Doug Christie defended a German called Ernst Zundel, who tried to stand up and tell the truth about the Holocaust. He never actually wrote anything. He took a pamphlet that a professor in France had written called Did 6 Million Really Die? And he published it in Canada. And for that, the Jews tore him apart. And they went after him endlessly. And this was the lawyer who defended him. So I don't see anything wrong with this Webster guy. Webster's just doing his thing as he sees. And one should also think that it is good that a guy like Webster did have Christie on his TV show. And he did let Christie say a lot of things out in the open. But during this discussion, and they were talking about free speech and the various things that had been said about the Germans, during this discussion, Christie throws some cold water on the notion that the Germans killed 6 million Jews. And I should mention that today, while I was preparing this, that I came upon an American information video from World War II. And I downloaded it because we'll go and have a closer look at it later. But this American information video stated that the Germans killed 20 million people. They say the Germans murdered 20 million people in Europe during World War II. And remember that, because you're going to see just how much nonsense is spoken about the Germans. You won't believe how many lies have been told about the Germans. And the cheapskate nature by which these lies have been told. So watch this interview, because it's a very interesting interview. And the two debate very intensely. And Christie is a real character by himself. He's a real interesting, fascinating guy. And he seems to be a guy who has more principles than money. And it seems that he even was operating out of his car in a car park. Really, this guy is something else. He's something very human. He's the kind of person with principles that should be held up as a real hero. But towards the end of this interview, Webster decides that he's had enough of this nonsense that no Jews were killed and that the Holocaust is just a myth. It's just an outright lie. So then he says he's going to show people that it was real. And then they show a couple of minutes of film footage from World War II. And you see dead bodies and you see a situation in front of you. And they say to you, what you are looking at here are Jews that were killed by the Germans. And it's that piece of film footage I'd like you to take a really close look at. Look at it very carefully and see what you see there. And keep in mind, on the one hand, they're telling you what you are seeing, but on the other hand, you should be studying carefully what you are actually seeing. One of the remarks that Christie makes after looking at this film footage, he says to Webster, oh, are you sure those are Jews that you see there? And that's just one question he asks. But I'd like you to take as much note of what you see as possible. Then in the next video, we're going to sit back and analyze it. And I'm going to show you some other things that might give you insight into what you are actually looking at. And you can go and look carefully at that video footage that was shown on Canadian TV and listen and look at what I'm going to show you. And then you can make up your own mind as to what exactly you saw there. Now, this is just a small intro into the enormous topic of the supposed murder of Jews in World War II. We will still come back to this in all various ways, and you'll see what a load of lying has gone on about the Germans and the Nazis in particular, and then you can sit and wonder about the horrors of World War II. Which were the real horrors of World War II? So watch this interview, it's very interesting, and Christie is a real character, and he really knows his stuff. And you'll see that Christie was involved in other things. It seems he even wanted to split Canada into Western Canada and Eastern Canada. This guy had a real sharp brain, and he looks like he was a really energetic guy. I'm very sad that this guy didn't become a massive figure, because I think this guy could easily have been the kind of guy who'd be able to lead a country or something like that. I have real respect for the integrity of Doug Christie, just as I do for Sylvia Stoltz in Germany. These are unbelievable human beings. Really, if you think in this modern age there are no heroes, no, you are wrong, my friend. There are heroes. And you are going to view one of them and have a look at that guy. And you'll see a Canadian who's made of the real stuff that a white man should be made up of. So watch it and we'll analyze it afterwards.
Good morning. First of all, I want to say a very sincere thank you to all those thousands of people who expressed their condolences for the Webster family, and for my friends who stood in for me so magnificently last week. But back to work this morning, and I come back to work on a tough one. It's one that I don't really want to do, but I've got to do, because survivors of the Second World War like myself become quite sickened by Nazi propaganda or something very close to it, which has been spewing out in this country. And I'm sure you've all watched the Zundel case, where Ernst Zundel, a German landed immigrant in this country, faced two charges of race hate, etc., etc., and he was found guilty on one and still has to be sentenced. Here's what the man said.
Well, we told the truth, and it needed to be told, and we did it civilized, in a civilized manner, and I think we all did a good job, everybody.
He says he told the truth. He was convicted in one charge, he was acquitted in another. Perhaps a view which might be more amenable to many people who know about the war and don't have to read propaganda, which is patently false in some circumstances, might be a shortened version of the view of Rabbi Bergman of the Beth Shalom synagogue in Vancouver. And here's what he
it's
told...
It's not a question of whether it took place. It took place, not because I, as a Jew, said so, but because an international tribunal in Nuremberg said so, because the commander-in-chief of the Allied forces said so, Dwight D. Eisenhower, because Eichmann himself said so. So why is this being discussed?
Oh, yeah. And the court, of course, confirmed that the Holocaust did take place. And that's the one Zundel was convicted on, the other one he was not convicted on. And here I have a man who is perfectly properly a lawyer. He and I have tangled before, by the name of Doug Christie. He acted for Zundel. Now, he knows his image now as well as I know his image. And his image as a lawyer defending his client is that he totally agrees, we'll find out, with everything that Zundel advocates. We'll get down to the facts and the cases and find out the real Doug Christie, if he really thinks the law should be such, even though Zundel was convicted that time, if the law should be such that a person like myself can go on here and say, with impunity, let's burn people in gas chambers under the guise of freedom of speech. But we'll deal with Mr. Christie. Hold your breath, Mr. Christie. You'll have a chance to explain after the break. Or notorious as a lawyer. He was the man who started the separatist party in British Columbia, which grew into the Western Canada concept. He is the man who defended Ernst Zundel. Now, so people get this correctly, I want to know precisely what, in simple terms, and I'll reinterpret if necessary, what he was charged with in the first instance.
Two counts of false news. One, did 6 million really die, questioning the Holocaust? Two, the West War in Islam, attacking Zionists on their propaganda in the Middle East.
And on the first count, did the 6 million really die? He was found to have spread alarming and racist propaganda on which he has been convicted.
True, he's convicted.
Convicted. On the other one, the main theme of which was the old Nazi propaganda about the Jewish conspiracy, the Zionist conspiracy,
mm-hmm.
He was acquitted.
Yes.
Where do you stand on this, Doug Christie? Do you believe the Holocaust really happened?
Well, until recently, Jack, I would have answered you without any fear, but I've come to the conclusion that in this country, in view of this application of Section 177, I must keep my views to myself to avoid prosecution, and I intend to do so.
Oh, now, that's an evasive escape if ever I had one.
Well, it's the only safe answer.
You have said that the arguments by our friend Zundel have been compellingly persuasive. Have they persuaded you to believe that all those pictures of people in the gas ovens and my brother's own eyewitnesses in the death camps are lies?
In the gas ovens, Jack?
Yes.
Or the crematorium?
Crematoriums. Oven, crematorium, who gives a damn?
Well, there's a big difference, Jack.
Not to me, there isn't.
Well, maybe not. If there's no difference to you, then...
Or the lines of dead. The lines of dead taken by authentic, legitimate soldiers during the war.
If you mean Bergen-Belsen, Dr. Barton, who was there... who was a Red Cross medic, said that was not a planned deliberate genocide. He said so under oath. He was a British soldier, is a very distinguished British psychiatrist living in the United States. He's, I think, referred to by the Crown as a very honest man.
What about Auschwitz and Dachau and the rest of all the death camps where people died by the millions? Is this all just propaganda?
I think it's debatable. I think that it's open to debate. I don't think there's any historical question that shouldn't be open to debate.
So you do not believe, therefore, that 6 million... of Jews, Gypsies, Brits, French, Russians, Poles, died at the hands of the Nazis?
I think I said before, the safe answer is not to answer the question until such time as the courts decide that it's legally possible to do so.
So therefore, you believe almost everything that Zundel tells you?
Well, that's what you have to say.
Well, I say that you believe it. So therefore, you have become...
I'll say nothing and say it of prosecutions.
You have become an intolerant defender of the worst type of Nazi hierarchy.
Well, I have become a tolerant defender of everybody's point of view, including yours. And anyone who believes they have the right to express an opinion on history, I say should be defended.
Therefore, you say that the race hate law should be removed altogether.
Yes.
And we should have the so-called classy type of American freedom of speech under the Constitution.
The United States is a free society and hasn't suffered as a result for 200 years. I don't think we need any more Soviet-style laws to decide what you should think, I should think, or what either of us should say. Everybody's free to criticize Zundel. Why shouldn't he be free to answer?
You know, you and I both know that absolute freedom is quite intolerable in a civilized society.
I agree.
That there must be restrictions on freedom.
The only restriction that is liable to be any sense at all is the one that says if you advocate violence in the immediate presence of the possibility to accomplish it, that should be illegal.
That should be illegal.
Yes.
I say now, take out your swords and kill these people over there, that should be stopped.
Yes.
But I should be able to go on here this morning and say, I, Jack Webster, have been converted like Doug Christie, I have been converted to Zundel, and I am starting a party whose object is to remove certain racial groups from the face of the earth. That's freedom of speech.
Well, I'm not sure whether you mean, how you mean from the face of the earth.
I mean to put them in crematorium, a gas chamber.
Oh, no, that should be illegal. That's the advocacy of violence. That certainly would be illegal.
Now, are you confident that when it comes to the final appeals, you will win on our U.S.-style Charter of Rights?
Well,
freedom of speech?
I am not confident of anything that the courts of our country would have to decide for themselves. I think they'll make the decision. I won't.
I have one serious, very serious, everything I say this morning is deadly serious, obviously. One serious charge to make against your conduct in the trial.
Yes.
Is it not a fact that you chose to conduct the trial on the basis of the 6 million, the Holocaust?
Right.
Instead of going the simple way in which you would have gotten acquittal for sure, that it was Zundel's honest belief that what he said was true.
Well, I defended the case under instructions from Mr. Zundel on both grounds. First of all, truth, which he honestly believed, was the truth, and we brought forward evidence of many revisionist historians who hold with Mr. Zundel
and
from all over the world.
Did the court reject an argument from you that you were saying it, regardless of what he said or why he said it, it was his honest belief? Did you argue that?
Yes, I did.
And you didn't get an acquittal?
No.
You had to go the route of trying the Holocaust, rewriting history?
I had to put forward, I think, the defense that he felt was right, the defense of his views that he believed were true. And that's exactly what I did. And indeed, in addition to that, I said, though you may not believe him, he has a right to his beliefs. And I think that the prosecutor did something which I consider quite wrong. He put Mr. Zundel's political beliefs on trial by his cross-examination.
You did too, didn't
you? No, I didn't cross-examine him. I didn't bring out his political beliefs at all. I brought
out... What is he?
What is he? He's a man.
He's a Nazi.
He's a man. I don't think there are any Nazis. There are communists real in this world, but there's no Nazis.
Oh, come off it, man.
Oh, it's a boogeyman.
What did his father do in the war?
His father was a medic on the
East. What did he do in the war?
He was a child of 7 years old dodging the bombs in Bavaria.
Don't you think he should be thrown out this country right here and now?
Certainly not. I wouldn't throw anybody out for their political beliefs.
A man who comes and says the Holocaust didn't happen and obviously seems to be leaning not towards the Holocaust, but total intolerance and inflaming race hatred?
No.
Do we want these people?
Not at all. He wasn't charged with inflaming race hatred at all. He's charged with false news. And besides, if we start picking people's brains to decide who's got the right views, we're going to live in 1984, a Soviet-style dictatorship. I don't want that. I'll tolerate anybody's views. I'll reason with them. Everybody has a right to their opinions. And Zundel never advocated violence in any way, shape, or form. He wanted debate. He tried to debate. He was always open to debate.
Of course, one terrible mistake was made by the Crown here, wasn't it?
Yeah, charging him.
In the first place.
That's right.
Because if he hadn't been charged, you wouldn't be sitting here and we wouldn't be listening to this disgusting revisionism.
Well, let's face it. Our society has a right to decide where the boundaries of freedom lie, and I think that the only logical ones are where we tolerate all points of view short of advocating violence.
So
principles.
It sounds so reasonable and so proper, and yet you know as well as I do that the Holocaust took place.
The Holocaust
that
is
Hitler
a very...
was one of the most evil men ever seen on the face of this earth, that his people guided the German nation into this ghastly, damnable mass murder, and you say that that kind of freedom should be allowed to take place?
The Holocaust is a very emotional issue. It's an ill-defined issue. It is, in my view at least, open to debate. It should be open to debate for anyone
and
everyone.
The Nuremberg trials meant nothing.
The Nuremberg trials are open to criticism, valid criticism. They were valid criticisms made by many, many Allied experts.
Yeah, because if they'd won, they'd have hanged Churchill.
Probably.
But at least we know, we have a good idea of what happened on our side.
Do we really? Do we really know what Churchill was doing through the war? Come on.
Good idea.
Yes, well, I don't think we know as much as we think we know about Churchill.
Oh, do you think that Churchill had a private little Holocaust on the side somewhere?
I think there's lots of things about Churchill we should look into. Mm-hmm.
Name a couple.
Well, what happened to a certain Polish general that was shot down?
The plane was shot down.
Yes, yeah, what happened to him? What happened about the whole matter of Katyn? And why was that brought out at Nuremberg and not ever resolved, even though we all know the Russians did
You're
it?
You're talking about the...
Katyn Forest Massacre.
6,000, 10,000 people in the forest. Mere bagatelle compared to what the Nazis did.
All
I'll
right.
be back with Doug Christie after the break. Very proud of the fact that he's defending this man, Zundel. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm proud of defending him and freedom of speech.
Did he also distribute a thing called the Anne Frank Diary hoax?
It was referred to in the article, Did 6 Million Really Die? And yes, that's what he said.
Another hoax.
He produced evidence from the West German court to that effect.
His evidence?
Well, the West German experts...
Why did you use a Buffalo postal box for mailings in the United States to come to Canada?
Because for some time, I think Sabina Citrone and others had his postal rights suspended, and he recovered them after a hearing before the Postal Appeal Tribunal.
You're not suggesting that the people who laid the charge against him were in any way part of this Jewish conspiracy, were you?
Oh, I wouldn't dare suggest that.
Well, but suggest it then.
Why should I?
Because that's what you think. I
well,
can tell you the way you answered that question.
Well, the Holocaust Remembrance Association, maybe it's made up of Gentiles, I don't know.
Oh, come off it, Doug.
I wouldn't dare answer the question.
The Holocaust Remembrance Association. You wouldn't dare answer the question?
No, no.
Your own political views are a bit weird, aren't you? Remember the time you sat here and it was 10 minutes before you would tell me that you advocated the breaking up of Canada?
Well, I won't take 10 minutes to tell you that now.
You advocate it right now?
Yes, I do.
And you advocate that Zundel would probably be a prime minister in the new Western Canada,
No, I
you?
Doubt that very much, Jack.
Deportation. Where does he stand on deportation now?
Well, he cannot be deported unless his conviction stands and he is appealing.
And unless he gets a sentence of more than 6 months?
Well, I suppose that would be a factor, but that is subject to appeal, too.
So now he's been convicted, he hasn't been sentenced yet?
No.
If the government, after the sentence, then there'll be an appeal?
Yes.
So then it'll be years before the appeal is had, unless somebody rushes it through.
Yeah, that's probable, because it can be appealed further. There are many important issues that should be decided, I think, by the Supreme Court of Canada.
Well, is the good news not the fact that while he is under appeal for all these years, he can no longer publish stuff about did the Holocaust really happen?
Well, I don't know if that is so.
But he's been convicted in that false
yes,
material.
Yes, but the sentence is part of what you have said is the sentence, and that should not apply unless the conviction stands on appeal. And when the appeal is in progress, why should he be subject to a sentence?
So you're saying, Doug Christie says, do you say that Zundel is now entitled, as of this moment, to continue whistling his filthy hate mail out of Buffalo across Canada?
Well, of course, from Buffalo, that's another matter. But in Canada, he's subject to a bail condition, which will be probably terminated on the date of sentence. And if there's a sentence which he appeals, I don't think the sentence should be... an imposition until such time as his appeal is heard. But that's for the Court of Appeal to decide.
Absolute unlimited freedom, you say,
not
except
at all.
To advocate killing
violence.
People here
violence.
And now.
Violence.
Violence, killing.
Yes. Yes. Any advocacy of violence, I think, should be illegal. But anything short of that, by way of reasons, debates, arguments, however you or I might not like them, must be tolerated if we're to have a free society at all. Because who else is supposed to set themselves up as big brother and decide, aha, Jack has a wrong opinion, we'll prosecute him, or Doug Christie, or, I don't care, John Turner, whoever. Why should anyone be entitled to do that? I think Mulroney would like to do that.
In educated, civilized societies,
yes.
People are entitled to make their judgments based on known facts.
What known facts?
Well, a man called Hitler. You believe
what
that?
About
you believe that London was bombed during the war?
I believe that Berlin was bombed during the war.
You do?
And Dresden and Hamburg with 10 times as many bombs as London ever was bombed with.
Oh, is that unfair by any chance?
Well, maybe it was. Maybe if we don't have the 6 million as an excuse for that, maybe we start asking those questions.
Oh,
maybe that's why we should ask those questions.
You really could rewrite history. We
maybe
bombed Berlin and Dresden and all the rest of occupied Europe as an excuse.
No, I said that we should maybe wonder why we did that. Maybe the part of the Holocaust is a reason for
that. Well, I'll tell you why we did it. You know why we did it. You tell me why we bombed Dresden.
No, you're the expert.
No, you tell me.
Why did we bomb Dresden?
We bombed it so that we wouldn't have gas chambers run by Nazis in Britain and elsewhere. That's why we bombed it.
Oh, I see. Well,
freedom.
Tell me something. If the Nazis were going to set up gas chambers in Britain, why didn't they set them up in France?
Given time, I'm quite sure they would have done.
Well, they had quite a bit of time and they didn't.
They cleaned many of the Jews out of France. Holland, not quite so bad. Occupied Europe, the Jews, as you and I both know, were shipped away in railroad cars to some mysterious places from which 6 million didn't come back.
From what I believe, Jack, it should be open for us to discuss it, just as we are doing right here now, without fear.
Oh, we can discuss it, but surely there are some levels of fact which are acceptable to both sides. Eichmann, for instance.
Certainly.
Was Eichmann a human being?
I'm sure he was.
Did he deserve to die for his war crimes?
I don't know. I wasn't his judge, and therefore I'm not prepared to judge until I hear the evidence.
You don't believe anything you read or hear that you don't like?
Not necessarily. I think I believe lots of things.
How did you feel about the ethical side of appearing for this somewhat, I find it quite repulsive.
Do you really? Well, maybe if you knew him before you judged him through the media, you might not find him quite so repulsive. You know that?
Oh, I know there are faults in the media, but I think I can make a fairly good reading.
There's hysteria in the media, too.
Am I being hysterical?
No. You're being Jack Webster, and I like you.
I hate that kind of compliment. I'm
sorry.
Going over and belt you.
I'm sorry, but it's true. And I like people who have the strength of their convictions.
I'm sad for you, Doug. Here's a promising young lawyer who first of all goes squiddly doing the Western Canada concept, then gets involved in these... You're entitled to defend a man. Don't misunderstand me.
Well, thank you.
But you try to rewrite history so...
I'm not rewriting anything.
Thousands of children today will now begin to wonder if the Holocaust really took place. And we know it took place.
Well, maybe thousands of children should be open to discussion and debate about those and other historical questions.
Well,
why should you or anyone decide what they
should
think?
The reason this came to trial at all is because we stupid soft people in the West have not told our children what happened between 1932 and 1947. Yes.
Come on now. After all, how many Holocaust stories have there been? How many novels? How many parts in textbooks are there now? Come off it. If you don't think the Holocaust story is being told...
There's one other guy you've got to be ready to defend.
Who's that?
He was just a minor criminal who decided who lived and who died.
Yes.
And did the medical experimentations of young girls and young people.
Who's
Mengele.
That? Oh, yes, I've heard all about him.
Can you tell me if he's in Canada?
I really don't know, Jack, but there's lots of people in Toronto think that he is because the media has spread it all over in the middle of the trial.
Some of your connections, no names, no pack drill, might have been in touch with him.
Oh, I'm sure that some people think that some of the people I know might have been, but I think those people are really daft.
I'm going to go to the phones with you this morning. Oh, what about the Tories who have set up a new task force to search for war criminals?
Witch hunts all over again, and it'll be just choice. As soon as they get the pressure groups acting on these weak politicians, they'll be hunting for every Ukrainian.
All right, forget
every
Hitler.
Ukrainian in the country will be unsafe.
Every Ukrainian?
Yeah, because they'll all be suspect now with the broad, sweeping allegations that are being made. I think it's disgusting.
So if there is a European here who did carry out one of the mass murders, he should not be trusted.
Well, let's not try him in the media first.
Doug Christie, I'm hesitant about taking calls, but I'll chance it.
Yeah, it'll be wild.
Now, after the break... What's your fee that you're being raised by all of Zundel's sympathizers? Probably all kinds of people with strange backgrounds. What's your fee that you're getting?
First of all, it's not much. Secondly, it's privileged.
You don't have to tell me.
No.
Is it big money?
I said it's not much.
It's small money.
That's reasonable, and I don't think that...
Do you still have your office according to the Globe and Mail?
In a parking lot?
Parking lot attendant shack outside the locker room, Victoria?
The last I heard, it was still there. The windows were broken in, and, you know, it hasn't been painted lately by swastikas, but it's still there.
They do that, do they?
Oh, sure, every once in a while. Put glue in my door and that...
How old are you now, Doug?
38, the last count.
Your political career is, of course, down the tube. The Western County concept is dead, I gather.
Well, if freedom is down the tube, yeah, I suppose.
And just to refresh my clear memory, but so that nobody out there thinks that the Holocaust didn't happen,
yes.
Let's just see a little bit of the old...
Let's have a look, yeah.
...news reports. Come on. I don't know where that one is. This is American soldiers, obviously, looking at some of the salvage.
Right.
These are bodies killed in various ways. I don't know what that is there. That's the typical gas chamber. These are dead bodies, of course. They went in there and just died. You know, nobody tried to kill them or anything, did they?
I imagine they could have starved to death in those boxcars. That's quite possible.
And starving to death wouldn't constitute a Holocaust, would it?
How do you know those are Jewish bodies?
I have a jolly good idea.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Not Jewish, there are gypsies, lots of other people.
What if they're German bodies?
I don't think the Germans ever noticed what was happening in Germany during the war.
I see.
These are the ones there, too, you know. Makes one feel warm all over and think that one should love Zundel because he thinks it's all a hoax.
I see, and you're sure that that's all German actions and deliberate actions, eh?
I would be pretty certain. I would go to my grave swearing it was.
Well, so did the film made at the time, Nazi concentration camps. So
and
you're
that was
in good
a phony,
company.
Was it?
Well, it was made with an intention, let's put it that way.
Yeah, like the world at war.
Well, yeah, some of that, yeah.
Do you want to speak to Mr. Christie?
Yes, I do.
Well, say what you have to say.
I'd like to give you my condolences, Mr. Webster.
Oh, please, this morning I ask those very kind listeners, and I want to thank everybody, but let's get back to business, and thank you for your thoughts.
Mr. Christie.
Yes, sir.
Yes. You are a very pathetic person, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Very. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. You're pathetic.
Yes. I wouldn't say that.
Go, but that's his freedom of speech.
Oh, of course.
It's not really.
Why not?
Slander and libel, of course, are very different things. They don't
quite come in the same
freedom, do they?
Well, that's a civil matter. It's not a criminal matter.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, I think that the question of the 6 million Jews is not so important as the fact that the thing happened at all, whether it was 3 million or 1 million. And I think the fact that the Nuremberg trials were trying to put to the world a situation that would hope that would never happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Very sensitive point. We've got to know the mistakes of history, but when you get the Zundels and the Christie rewriting history, one doesn't have much hope in the human race, does one?
Oh, really? I think you can trust the people properly informed, and I don't think that there's any power in Zundel to inform them very much differently than the media does.
Well, that's why the Crown was so stupid to charge him and give him this incredible coast-to-coast worldwide platform.
Well, perhaps you're right. They already seem to think so in many editorials I've read.
Go ahead from Penticton.
Yes, I'd just like to say that, you know, the thing that bothers me is the fact that this whole thing even got to a trial to begin with. Obviously, there is something wrong with our Canadian laws that the truth, that history that we know is truth, should come up to trial. Now, something is wrong at that end of the thing. Now,
I agree.
That this lawyer is somehow being misled. And a word for him, my Bible tells me that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I'd just like to urge this man to search the Bible if he wants to know the truth.
Thank you, sir. You're going to face the wrath of God for what you do.
I'm prepared for his judgment.
Go ahead from Campbell Evan.
Good morning, Jack, and I thank you. I've been holding, and I'll pay for this. I met Mr. Christie during the 1983 campaign in Campbell River. I had returned from church and walked into his meeting by accident and listened in. I was also subsequently a liberal candidate. I've had 4 years law school, Mr. Christie, as I indicated to you, although I'm not a lawyer. I want to suggest to you that what you are really doing is defending an accused person, as is the right of every person in Canada to have a legal defense. Even Al Capone and people like that, and even the
Clifford Olson
were accused. Now, I'm suggesting that your main motivation is to act as a lawyer for an accused person. As to freedom of speech, there are limitations. Collins. Even Alpha Collins has unparliamentary language.
Yeah, but they don't prosecute people for it.
I think that is your motivation.
Thank you very much. You found a friend, I think. That's my fear, that you have created friends from...
Well, why should it be a danger that freedom of speech has friends?
Look at this garbage here from Samizdat, challenges Wiesenthal. A life ruined by Nazi hunt.
Well, are you familiar with the Wallace case?
Wallace?
Yeah. No? Frank Wallace. Accused of being a Nazi war criminal and put through hell for 3 or 4 years when he was 17 years old living in Germany working on a farm. And Samizdat is an organization that brought that to light. Maybe it's not all one-sided.
Well, I've chosen not to believe it now, anyway.
Fine enough.
Go ahead, please.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Mm-hmm. I just want to put some input, and perhaps there can be some comment on it. My name is Irwin, and I, going by Napoleon, what Napoleon said now.
Oh, skip Napoleon.
Generally.
Skip Napoleon and get to the point. Are you with Christie or are you against him?
I'm with all of you.
Thank you. Well, I'm not arguing all sides of the question this morning. Go ahead, please.
Okay, it's one thing as a lawyer, to defend a criminal, okay? But when you participate with the criminal in any illegal acts, this is something that the law society should look at. This is something that is...
Oh, here's the man I was expecting to hear from. The minute that I raise any question that he doesn't like, he's going to have me before the Law Society. He's going to have me put to some kind of prosecution. This is a very typical mentality that would have succeeded well in Nazi Germany.
I think that ethically you're fully entitled to defend Sundel to the best of your abilities.
Yes.
But what I'm wondering is, if you went overboard a little bit, I remember seeing a news clip of you last week in which you gave the view that it was compellingly persuasive and that you really believe everything that Zandel said.
You know, I have another comment to make.
Just a minute. No. Ethically, though, did you do wrong in staying with Zandel?
No, I think, if I was to stay somewhere else, my security would have been very expensive.
Security?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Was your life threatened?
Oh, you bet. Many, many times, Mr. Webster. And I find it amazing that such liberals in this society would think that's just fine, that somebody else's freedom of speech could be threatened with death, but they'll keep their mouths shut. Where are all the Pierre Burtons? Where are all the June Callwoods? They're very quiet these days about freedom of speech. I'd invite them to speak out on it.
Hello?
Well, that's threats of death.
I just have a little bit further to go with the question.
Go on, carry on.
Okay.
I don't mean that quite that way, but...
Money comes from hate literature that is outlawed, for example, in Germany. And to pay his fee, or if this money comes from an illegal act, which he is participating in, this is something to consider.
All right, just a minute. I'll cut it through from there. Mm-hmm. Is it correct that Zandel has lost his German status?
He's lost his German passport. I don't know about his
German
citizenship.
It's been revoked.
Yeah.
They don't want him back in the country.
I can't speak for the West German government.
Could he have said these things here in Germany that he has been preaching here?
Well, he was acquitted of anything in Germany of which I'm aware. So he could probably publish what he did publish there. Now, whether he could publish what he published here, I don't know.
I'm told the reverse, that what he published here would have been a criminal offense in Germany.
I'm not sure of that.
Does he get support from Germany, in which there are remnants of the neo-Nazi organization?
He gets support from Germany from many people who believe he's doing the right thing. Yeah,
money.
I'm sure he does.
Is he a wealthy man?
I doubt it.
And is he a publisher to trade? Is that his business?
He's also a photo retoucher, and he did some covers for some famous Canadian magazines at one time, which will go unnamed.
Yeah, they're bad because of the boycotted if you name them. Maybe we should name them. After the break. Doug Christie is now famous or notorious in this country for his defense of Zandel. You knew you'd win the second count easy. That was the one where he publishes the Zionist, the anti-Zionist hate material, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't say I knew I'd win anything. I think we did fight for what was an important principle on both,
okay.
And we lost on one.
And now that you're going to be tied up on this case for years to come.
Yeah, perhaps.
If the money holds out, because you've got to be
paid. Whether it does or it doesn't.
And then you are now defending this wonderful school teacher from Alberta, Kingstra.
Yeah, another thought crime. Yeah.
I certainly would throw any teacher out of my classroom who taught what Kingstra taught. What charge does he face?
281.2, subsection 2, and he's charged with promoting hatred against an identifiable group, to wit, Jewish people. So.
Is that a new charge against him?
No, that originated in 1968 as a section of the criminal code.
No, but that this material is on a new material against Keekster. Nothing to do with his school board activities.
Oh, yeah, it's all what he had allegedly done while he was teaching.
So this is the final upshot of Keekster's classroom tuition.
Sure. He's lost his job. He's been defeated as mayor. Now they want more.
They want the pound of flesh. April 9th is the start of the trial. Is that correct?
Correct.
You're defending him?
Yes, I am.
Without charge?
That's a game privileged. I won't, don't get it.
Go ahead, please.
I think the government is trading on very dangerous ground here. There's lots of room to debate the numbers, like 3 million to 6 million. I'm looking at William L. Shearer's Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, and the numbers in that book go from 2,500,000 up to 7 million. So there's lots of room for debate here, but if somebody else poked up their head and wanted to suggest 100,000 or something substantially less, surely that's his right if he has evidence. I really can't see why the government brought these charges at all. I think that these people want to get up and say what they're saying and show themselves off as being exactly what they are, paranoid nitwits, then the people are going to know it. The charges are unnecessary.
Well, I think Lord Randolph Churchill said it best, properly informed, trust the people. And the truth doesn't need the support of government, and error does.
We agreed. The charges were stupid.
I think so.
Go ahead, please.
I am in total disagreement with what is happening in this country, and I just think that he's making just a comic strip of the rest of the world for Canada. And it's, as a Canadian citizen, I feel terribly ashamed that we have to go through this kind of garbage.
Hear, hear, ma'am. I had a woman in here the other day. What was her name, Mark?
Isabella Leitner,
a survivor of five sisters from death camps in Germany. And how one could look at that woman and hear her story and know it was true and yet pretend it didn't exist.
You know, the important thing to remember is that this pamphlet, Did 6 Million Really Die?, does not deny any of the concentration camps or the crematoria or Jewish suffering.
It
doesn't deny any of that.
What does it deny?
It denies the existence of gas chambers.
So it's in that fine part?
Yeah.
In other words, we killed the 6 million, but we didn't put them in gas chambers.
Well, it denies the figures as well.
Go ahead, please.
Christy, I'm against about everything you say, except I really admire your tenacity in defending the right to have free speech. And I feel that people like the media and Mr. Webster would have a sort of a mind control system where the media would dictate what's heard and have a great time, mm-hmm. great party, and they're reporting this news that they say they don't want to report, which they really do, of course. And yet they want to have convictions because just debate itself doesn't get into the newspaper too often, but court cases do.
I think the man has a valid point.
Well, there is a great danger in the fact that there's tremendous power in the media, but there's even greater power in the government. And I think if you had a corrupt government that wanted to control the media, we'd have a very dangerous situation.
All you do to control the media here is you buy it. Go ahead from White Rock.
Hi, I've been listening here, and I'm wondering why Doug Christie hasn't taken a little more control of the debate here, and what he really wants to say. I think he's brought up a couple of times this issue on the 1984 idea, and I think he's run into a bit of a paradox there in that I see him defending, not really defending, but in support of this Hitler regime, which in itself was the epitome of the control of the masses, as this 1984 Big Brother concept is. I'd like to hear some comments on that, and I think all this other hoopla is just kind of skirting around the issue. It seems that he may have a somewhat paranoid feeling about what's going on, but I think it could be an important point that might be overlooked.
So do I. In other words, he's saying that 1984 arrived in 1933 when Hitler took over the Reichstag.
That's right.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think that 1984 is more real today than ever before in history, and I don't think that it's appropriate to disregard that fact and say that, oh, the danger's over in 1945, you know. That's a very comfortable, sanctimonious, smug, typically Canadian attitude that we don't need to worry.
No, that's not the point he's making or I'm making. From 1939, we'll say, to 1945.
Yeah.
Germany was under total Hitlerian control,
mm-hmm.
including the media, including the propaganda, and 1984 was there then.
Uh-huh. Well, where is it now?
It's here now. It is also here now, so why skirt the issue and pretend that it's something that never happened before and isn't here now?
I don't think it's here now in those terms. There was total control in other parts of the world, too, during the war.
I think, frankly, there is more control of the public mind today than there ever was possible between 39 and 45.
Done by whom? The liberals?
What is your part in this?
Just a minute. Done by the liberals who got thrown out in their ears?
I don't think
they controlled it so poorly they lost the government. Wham, bam.
I don't think that anything significant has changed by replacing the liberals with morality.
Oh, so now it's the establishment that controls everything.
Yeah.
The Tories.
I don't think it's a party that controls everything, but there is
money.
An establishment.
Big money.
That's a part of it, all right.
Jewish money.
I have no idea whose money it is.
I can see the old propaganda line coming up.
Can you really? Mm. Well, we'll have to be very careful. We'll end up being prosecuted.
Well, I'm willing to say yes or no to any question you ask me. Go ahead, please.
Well, neither will I then.
I am willing. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Jack.
Yes.
I would like to say to Mr. Christie, you better get some of this facts straight, because just made a mention a while back that there are no gas chambers in France. I went to...
Wait a minute. Just one moment. I said the booklet, Did 6 Million Really Die, denies the existence of gas chambers in Auschwitz, okay?
In Auschwitz particularly. That's
well, there are no other camps to which there's any remnants that people could make some kind of investigation, so that's the one that... this book directs its attention to. So don't make your accusations directly at me, if you wouldn't mind.
You did make a statement a while ago. You said, for Jack, you said, check it out. Well, France never had any gas chambers.
Oh,
I went right by one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did, eh? Oh, that's interesting. Let's hear about
the building right in
France,
a complex of buildings, and a French farmer was there, and he told us, he says, that's a gas chamber. He says, they've been gassing.
Must have been true.
He was there for years.
Well, Might well have been true.
Well, this is the first time in history someone's found gas chambers in France, but why not believe it, I suppose? I'm glad to hear this new opinion expressed.
Go ahead, please.
Great.
Good morning, Mr. Webster. I don't think, feel that the question here is whether...
Hold on a second. I've got to take a break and speak to... on the air. I'll take that call, which whoever it was. One more segment with Doug Christie after the break.
Holocaust existed is the same question as whether God exists. I believe that God exists, and I believe that the Holocaust existed too.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarity, because to some people I think it's become a religious belief that you shouldn't question.
That's right, and I think if Canada's going this way...
Just a minute. Did you say what I thought you'd say?
Yeah.
That the Holocaust has become
a religious
dogma
that
which
you shouldn't question. In fact, it's now going to be punishable for heretics, it would appear.
Like the sinking of the Graf's Bay, it didn't happen.
Oh, I didn't say that. Of course the Bismarck was sunk. Of course the Graf's Bay was sunk. But you can question those things as long as you like. But I would think that it would be very dangerous in future to question the Holocaust.
Go ahead, please. Is that you, Bobby?
Good morning, Jack.
Introduce yourself, Bobby.
My name is Wilson, Robert Wilson.
He wrote The Butcher of Leon, Klaus Barbie. What do you want to say to Doug Christie?
Well, I just like to state, Jack, I'd like to try to put this thing in its proper perspective, if I may.
Uh-huh.
An earlier caller, a young lady, mentioned about the comics. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're making cartoon characters out of the likes of this Zundel. I mean, does Mr. Christie's never met a real Nazi? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Well, I've met people who... like yourself, would not let other people put their point of view. Maybe you'd like to see secret trials in this country. I don't know.
No, he's going to let you put your point of view. Bobby wrote the book on the Butcher of Leon.
Oh, excuse me.
Who's one of the classic Nazi killers.
The one that was just almost poisoned by the civilized allies of our country disinfectant they gave him to drink as medicine.
In jail in France?
Yeah, I gather, yeah.
You came up with the greatest little tidbits. I didn't see that.
It was in the news, yes.
Was it in your propaganda, Sam?
It was in the established news, Jack.
Established news.
Yeah,
did you know that
true.
Somebody had tried to poison Bobby?
Yes, I understand somebody tried to slip him something the other day, Jack. But the point I'm trying to make here, if I may, is that for all these years, we take the Rockwells and we take the Zundels and we take these cartoon characters, these people that propound all this wild opposite point of view of what probably did happen, and we build them up and we build them up. We give them a platform. Now, Jack, I've met survivors, and I've met families of survivors almost all around the world, ordinary people that have the same stories to tell. In my mind, there's no doubt there was a Holocaust, but that's not the point. The point is people like this Mr. Christie, they come forward and they make a show out of these things. This is a show trial, Jack.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't Zundel's idea to go on trial.
No, true, but it was a show trial, but you say that...
If there was a show, it was because he took the courage to defend himself. Is that a crime? You want to make that a crime? You go right ahead, sir, and you'll end up in the country. Yeah. You're so busy accusing of such
awful
crime.
No, he's really saying that this has unhappily and unfortunately become a show trial without any real substance in terms of the truth.
Well, there's a lot of substance as far as he's concerned. Isn't he entitled to his views of the truth, too? Or what, do we have an official truth from Mr. Wilson or an official truth from the government or the Attorney General? Is that the way you want to have official truth, Jack? Well, maybe you might find out that there'll be an official truth that'll be counter to yours, and then you'll find out what it's like.
I have more freedom in democracy, more belief in democracy than you do. Go ahead, please.
Well, I've happened to be involved in a trial of truth, so... Maybe I...
What is alleged to be? What is truth anyway?
Exactly.
But there are facts which are slightly different from truth on occasion.
History is debatable.
Sure. Truth is what you think it is, and it's what I think it is.
Right. And neither of us has to agree.
But we must avoid poisoning people with the...
Falsehood?
Damnable...
Lies?
Revisionism of history.
Oh, I see. Well,
not
what about
falsehood and
what
lies.
About First World War revisionism, where they admitted after the war that there were no Belgian babies, there were no
made
crucified Canadians?
I'm well aware of that. Yeah. The early propaganda days.
Yes, that's right.
And you would tell me not right now that there was no 6 million dead Jews.
I would say that it should be open to discussion.
Go ahead, please.
As far as open for discussion, it seems that Mr. Christie is more concerned with spreading hate literature in the cause of freedom of speech and truth.
Oh, yeah.
I was at university in the early 60s and watched for 1 week films on the Holocaust. The Holocaust films were both documentary films from the Allies and also the German films that they took of the gas chambers and the people dying in the gas chambers.
Where was this, sir? In what concentration camp?
I don't know the concentration.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was in Dachau. The only one the Allies in their film, Nazi concentration camps, referred to as having a gas chamber was Dachau. And if you go to Dachau now, it says, gas chamber never used, although there are affidavits that swear that 3,600 people were gassed there, made after the war.
Okay, we'll leave it at that, Doug Christie. We shall watch with bated breath. Trust the authorities aren't stupid enough again to give people like Zundel other magnificent platforms.
I hope you're right.
We'd agree.
Yes.
My thanks to Doug Christie. Back to his office in the parking lot in Victoria, right?
That's right.
And then back east to fight all these appeals.
Well, there's also another thought crime on trial in Alberta, and I'll be there in April.
Kingster.
Yes.
Another beauty. My thanks to...